Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. So Aaron Rodgers is out. They're going to play against the Chiefs. Packers have, you know, it's crazy. The Packers enable Rodgers in a way, right, to pull off the deception. They're probably going to benefit from this. I mean, look, if they lose a couple games and they don't get the number one seed, there's so many ways they can benefit this from this. They can back Aaron Rodgers and maybe convince him to stay. They got a good look now at Jordan Love. They're going to see what Jordan Love can do.
Ouch.
Really like that? I don't know. I mean, I had Todd McShay on This Just In yesterday, and McShay, going back to his kind of evaluation of Love, said, big, strong, big arm, smart, mobile enough.
Did you not hear Matt LaFleur's press conference when they asked him about Jordan Love being ready? He didn't give a ring.
Not ready.
He didn't give him a ringing endorsement that make you go, oh, okay. It was more like, yeah, we'll see. You know, it was like, wow.
Can you redo it for us? Because you're really good at the coaching speech.
He just was like, yeah, we'll see. He didn't like.
But maybe he's trying to manage expectations.
When you see it on his face, we were sitting there on NFL Live, myself, Swagoo, Dan Orlowski, and Laura Rutledge. And as soon as he said it, we looked at each other. We was like,
well,
yeah.
Let's have people hear it. Evan, let's play it.
I know he's been working hard every day, and I think Luke Getsy does a great job with him, getting him prepared. The majority of his reps have taken place on the scout team, but that's something that we try to, when we're doing those scout teams and in practice, you try to take whatever's on the card or whatever play they're running and put it into our terms to help the development process. So I know he takes every rep very seriously.
The Packers are hoping Love can get in the zone against the Chiefs. Get in the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Yep.
So, not a ringing endorsement at all.
But you also had to see the face.
He works very hard.
If you saw the face, the voice is there. But if you saw the face, you'd have been like, oh, damn.
You know what else? The wrong organization to not be a baller in. They've only had two quarterbacks in a million years. It was Brett Favre. The odds that you come up with a guy better than Brett Favre are almost zero. They came up with a guy better than Brett Favre. They're both at the highest level, but I take Rodgers over Favre. Now, Jordan Love, the pressure on this kid.
You know what that sounded like to me? You remember, like, back in the day, if somebody asked you if you liked somebody, you liked the girl, like, oh, do you like her? Like, oh, she's really nice. She's smart. A great personality.
He friend-zoned him?
What'd you say?
LaFleur friend-zoned? He friend-zoned Jordan Love?
Jordan Love.
He said, you're Jordan-like.
I mean, she's cool. He's cool. But he's not who I want to date. He's not who I want to go after.
But the great thing about Jordan Love is this is an opportunity to display his talents in real time. And what I mean by real time, he hasn't played football in almost 2.5 years. Last time we saw him on the field, he was at Utah State in a real field, in a real game. Utah State versus UNLV is not the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Green Bay Packers. He is now entering the Autobahn where things are going to be flying.
No speed limit.
There's no speed limit. So things have got to slow down for him. They've got to put him in a position to have some success.
At least he's going up against a bad defense.
Well, it's a bad defense to us, not a bad defense.
Until Spagnuolo just starts throwing stuff at him.
When they start bringing zero blitzes and confusing him as a young quarterback – It's important for Matt LaFleur and the offensive staff to not put him in harm's way, not do things that he's incapable of doing, trying to do.
Jason Wilde of ESPN Wisconsin, he's an ESPN Wisconsin host and Athletic Packers reporter, was on a terrific radio program yesterday morning between 6 and 10 a.m. here on ESPN Radio called Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. This is what he had to say about the expectations for Jordan Love.
We're going to see how Jordan Love plays on Sunday. In 2007, I was in Dallas when Brett Favre injured his elbow, and out came Aaron Rodgers, and he was great. And it convinced the team, we're going to be okay. They had seen him in practice be really, really good. They were already thinking, hey, it's time to move on to the kid. And that solidified in their minds that he was ready. I don't know if that's what's going to happen on Sunday with Jordan Love. I'm more skeptical of that happening. But there are a bunch of pieces that are going to fall into place here that will affect the long-term picture.
Chiefs-Packers is the hot ticket this weekend in the NFL. Hot tickets brought to you by Vivid Seats. From seats on the 50-yard line to a bird's-eye view, being there is all that matters. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Key, you would talk about – you have something on your mind first?
No,
I was going to say, you were
I
talking
like
about
– my hands like that.
You were talking about Justin Fields and what you would kind of broke it down. This is what – Nagy should be doing with Justin Fields. Is that, I assume, although I don't think Love is considered as talented as Fields, I would assume there's a similar idea for a young quarterback like Jordan Love?
Here's what I would say. Utah State, he had an up-and-down college career. He is very talented. He can use his legs just like a Justin Fields. The difference between him and Justin Fields is he has weapons. Mm-hmm. Okay, he has real wideouts and a running back and a tight end and an offense. Like, it's a different situation that he is now being put in. And with that being said, when you have a Lazar or you have a Devontae Adams, a Randall Cobb, Equanimeous St. Brown, a Rodgers, Aaron Jones, and they're getting back, how do you say his name? Scout?
Valdez Scantling.
When you get him back, I always want to call him Scandrick for whatever reason because I know Scandrick. But
Scandrick's a fresh name. That's why.
And so when you got that, it makes things in life easier.
You don't
have to do
but
a whole
so,
lot.
But does it change the game plan the way you would use a young quarterback?
No, what you do with that game plan is that game plan is already installed. We're already done.
What is it?
But I don't know what the game plan
is. No, I'm saying,
So now what you do, you just take out the things that he does well out of the game plan. Instead of 10 pages, you may only use 2 pages. And you get him in empty formations, and you spit the ball out quick. You know that zero pressure's coming from Spagnuolo. You already understand they bring in blitzing from everywhere. So rather than have him confused, trying to figure out who's coming from where, get the ball out quick.
Here, play Aaron.
Action. Even though you're going to run the ball with Aaron Jones, play-action pass may not be the best situation on a continuous basis because now he's turning his back to the defense. And if he turns his back to the defense, and all of a sudden what he saw pre-snap, when he comes back up, it's not there, he's going to be confused. Imagine that. You close your eyes and open it again, and it's not, you're like, it's something different.
Yeah.
So that's how you make things easier for him.
Can I just say, if you are Jordan Love, and you're thinking about, damn, out of all the games that come in and start, like, this is the game. I got my weapons back. Devontae Adams is back. Valdez Scantling is back. I got Randall Cobb. I mean, I have all the pieces. I'm playing against statistically one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They give up second most yards and first downs across the NFL. Like, this is the game to showcase what your weapons are.
Also, you're getting the start. Not because this is something Aaron Rodgers did to him.
I hear something, but KC too, huh?
This is something Aaron Rodgers did to himself. You know, like, this is nothing that the team did where he got pushed out or Jordan Love made any noise. Yo, Aaron, everything was cool. You did this to yourself. Now Jordan Love is getting the opportunity.
Yeah, but this ain't even about Aaron Rodgers as far as Jordan Love is on the field. This has nothing to do. Aaron Rodgers ain't going nowhere. Aaron Rodgers is going to be back here and doing his job whenever due time.
Let me ask you. Let's say Jordan Love. Now, of course, it's a rookie. It's not going to be Justin Herbert's once in every 20 years. A rookie plays like Justin Herbert.
Essentially, he is a rookie because he didn't dress last year.
Right.
So he's a rookie.
So let's say he has a good – let's say Rodgers is out for – hypothetically, let's say it's 2 weeks because he's not due to earliest to be Saturday, the day before the game, but it doesn't go perfectly, so he misses
Saturday,
the next two.
The day before the Seattle game, which is next Sunday.
But that's if he gets two negative tests. Let's say he misses the next two. Let's say he's suspended.
And if he doesn't get suspended for one.
Let's say he's suspended for one after that. Let's just say, okay? So there's 3 games that Jordan Love has. Is there anything you think that Jordan Love could do to make the Packers think, you know what? This we're going to go forward with this guy. We're not going to pander to Rodgers. If he wants to stay, he stays. But we're not going to be bending over backwards
anymore.
I'm
going to end it with you real quick. 3 games, 3-0. Average 310 yards a game and 2 touchdowns and 1 turnover.
So he's got to play lights out.
Damn.
What you mean?
The NBA's best insider on the league's investigation into Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver next on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Adrian Wojnarowski is standing by to talk about yesterday's article that accused Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver of, you're going to hear this a lot today, overseeing an organization that many employees have described as toxic and sometimes hostile. Written by ESPN's Baxter Holmes. Holmes interviewed more than 70 former and current Suns employees who've been part of the team throughout Sarver's 17-year tenure. According to the report, Sarver has used racially insensitive and lewd language repeatedly in the office and displayed conduct employees recount as inappropriate and misogynistic. Multiple current and former employees also told ESPN about conduct by other members of the Suns leadership team they felt contributed to the work environment. While none said Sarver was involved in those incidents, many felt that Sarver's own conduct contributed to a culture that affected how some other managers within the organization treated their employees. And now we bring Woj into this. Good morning, Woj.
Morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Woj.
Woj, what's the reaction around the league to yesterday's article by Baxter Holmes?
Max, there had been, I think for a very long time, certainly an awareness of how Robert Sarver operated within basketball operations, how disruptive he had been through, you know, years of turnover of general managers, coaches, and players, and, you know, really a decade of, you know, very little success until these last couple of years with, you know, Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and, of course, Chris Paul. And a different leadership structure with Monty Williams as head coach, James Jones as GM. But the levels beyond basketball throughout the organization, the issues of race, of misogyny, you know, certainly people around the league were mortified by what they read, by the reporting of Baxter Holmes, and really just, you know, how deep-seated the issues are in Phoenix during this Robert Sarver regime and all the different ways it touched people throughout that organization.
Well, as it relates to the NBA doing an investigation with the Phoenix Suns, obviously they stated that nobody reached out to the NBA hotline. How do you, you know, with Donald Sterling, there was physical evidence that you could see. Here it's hearsay with people and their opinions about what happened to them. How does the NBA move forward with this type of investigation?
Jay, it's going to be a very different investigation than Donald Sterling, which really got wrapped up within days. There was audio tape. Then he went on television, did an interview, if you remember, on CNN shortly after that audio tape was released, and he was suspended quickly by Adam Silver. You know, there was another case during Adam Silver's tenure in Atlanta with Bruce Levinson. There were email evidence about the owner's comments to within the organization about race and their fan base that led to an investigation, and ultimately he sold the team. This is different. And this is going to be a much longer investigation, it would seem, and I think that's what the league is preparing for, the Suns. But there's an opportunity now not only to corroborate what Baxter had in his reporting, but opening the doors up for even further examination and more people getting a chance to come and talk to the league investigators. There were many people, current and former in Phoenix, who are anxious to talk to the NBA. I think you see in Baxter's reporting there were those who wondered if this day would ever come. And so there may be people beyond those who perhaps were among the 70 that talked to Baxter for his story who now would like to speak with NBA investigators and describe their experiences with Robert Sarver, with his culture there. This is the same law firm that did this Clipper investigation, the Hawks investigation for the NBA. And so expect this to take time and to play out over certainly months. But I think for Robert Sarver, you talked to other owners around the league yesterday, the other members of the Board of Governors, and it'll be that issue of race. Ultimately, it's what led to ownership changes in with the Clippers, with the Hawks. And then we'll see now as the league does its investigation, what does it mean for the future of Robert Sarver as owner of the Suns?
Woj, I know it's still in the early stages of everything, and they've got to do their due diligence and investigations and everything else that comes with that. But let's forecast for a minute, because you've been in this business a very long time and you've seen all sorts of things. What penalties do you think at the end of the day we could expect, if any at all?
Yeah, listen, you know, at the very least, financial fines, you know, the league can levy those. Adam Silver can levy suspensions. And, you know, listen, the most dramatic, you know, possible change could be ownership change. Now, that would take a three-fourths vote of the Board of Governors, 29 other governors with teams. That's a high threshold to get ownership change, to have that voted upon by his peers. In my conversations yesterday with other owners, they would need to see a lot more before they would even consider that as something that's on the table. But that's why, you know, they're expecting the league to go in, be thorough about this. You know, you've seen with Adam Silver, and you can look through his tenure, not much, if any, tolerance on the issue of race and how that impacted the employees and basketball staff, coaches, front office executives, all of those in Phoenix who, when you look at the reporting, were impacted. So I think it's going to take time. But I think in the short term, if you're Phoenix, things like corporate sponsorships, all of those things, you know, when potential sponsors or current sponsors see this kind of reporting, what Earl Watson talked about on the record, you know, that certainly impacts the bottom line in the short time. But Robert Sarver has denied, you know, virtually all of the accusations of those who described the environment there. And he said he looks forward to an independent, as he called it, NBA investigation that he hopes or believes will account well for his time in Phoenix.
Woj, two owners in a row now for CP3, not in a row, excuse me, but between Donald Sterling and now obviously with Robert Sarver for Chris Paul, what role do you envision him taking in this entire process?
Jay, an immense role. And I think this organization is leaning on him in these times, not just his teammates, but his general manager, James Jones, his coach, Monty Williams. He did go through this with the Clippers and through that investigation, led that team. But not only in that instance, Jay, you know, think about as the head of the Players Association, getting his peers into the bubble at a time where there was not a universal sense among players that they should go into the bubble at that time during the pandemic, what was going on in this country, and then keeping his peers in the bubble where there was a point in there where the whole that whole restart could have fallen apart, and Chris Paul was certainly at the forefront of keeping that together, getting that entire bubble restart to the finish line. And so I think his experience, his leadership, I don't know that there's another player in the league you could be better suited with as an organization than Chris Paul. And you saw the tone set yesterday with Chris Paul, Monty Williams, that they're going to continue to play. They say they'll wait for this league investigation to play out. And again, as we talked about earlier in our conversation here, there's not that audio tape that exists with Sterling or emails like in the Atlanta situation. And so, you know, we'll see what happens now when many individuals now have an opportunity to tell their stories to the league.
Talking to Adrian Wojnarowski, the one-man industry here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Woj, normally, if LeBron James misses a game, that's the lead. But the Sarver stuff has knocked everything off the front page, right? But I'd like to ask you about LeBron, if you don't mind, because people would like to know. What's the latest?
Yeah, you know, as Dave McMiniman reported yesterday, our Lakers reporter, that abdominal strain, you know, is going to keep him out a few games, probably at least a week. Lakers medical staff, you know, wants to make sure that he gets through this injury without a recurrence. Another really difficult loss for the Lakers last night against Oklahoma City, who keeps coming back with these wild deficits against L.A. They did it in Oklahoma City last week, and then they do it at Staples last night. And so, you know, this is a Laker team certainly that's been without LeBron in the early going here and has struggled at times without him, which you'd certainly expect.
Thank you very much, Woj. As always, that's Adrian Wojnarowski, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Woj, great stuff, brother.
On the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that moves you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Back to the breaking news from this morning on OBJ. We'll tell you the latest. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Goodyear Hotline. You, by the way, while I'm at it.
What a song for OBJ.
we are asking on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I haven't done this yet this morning, Jay. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Which team not currently in the playoffs right now? Like, if you look at the NFL standings, oh, that team's not in the playoffs if the season ended today. Which of those teams right now will make the postseason? All right. You heard it in the Sports Center. The Browns are working with OBJ's reps to negotiate a release. Now, according to Adam Schefter, the Browns are converting base salary into signing bonus to lower his cap number in an attempt to save money, making it easier for another team to claim him on waivers, per Adam Schefter.
My money is basically what it's saying.
So Odell gets paid, the team saves money, and it's easier for another team to pick him up.
Yeah,
sounds like a win-win-win.
Because the cap number's lower, so His base salary, let's say it was $8 million. I don't know what portion of that base salary they're going to convert to signing bonus, but he gets that money. It's basically now guaranteed because it was going to be guaranteed anyway. It just helps reduce the cap number, and it allows the team, because if they cut him or trade him, the salary cap proration of that signing bonus that he got when he first signed with them, it all comes due and paid today. So it just lowers it.
So he gets a chance to double dip, essentially.
No, he won't.
No,
if he goes to a different, yeah, if it goes to a different,
that'll be counted against. That's money the Browns don't have to pay.
Thank
apparently,
it's not
yeah.
the NBA.
Double dip, right?
I don't know.
NBA
look.
Players got it made,
yes,
boy.
They do.
All right. You know.
I wish they did.
It's like they got it made. They have to be the best athletes on earth, train every day since they're born, basically.
And they get the double dip.
They get the double dip. Let's get into this with former wideout Harry Douglas, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Harry.
What's good, Harry?
How y'all doing, fellas?
What's happening?
Doing good, baby.
Good. What do you make of the latest of Odell?
I think it was something that was bearing to happen, right, when you look at everything that has transpired. But we got to go back because a lot of people were saying that OBJ didn't have any success in Cleveland. You got to look at his first year. He had success his first year. Now, the last 2 years, especially last year, he was hurt. Did they use him properly last year when I was watching him last year? No, I didn't think so. Now, you come into this year. In the Cleveland Browns, and I'm looking week in and week out like, why isn't Odell getting the football like he should? And Keyshawn, you know about this. Get the man the damn ball. He's a special talent. You got to get him the football. But the Browns didn't make it a point. And you see multiple times Kevin Stefanski say he has to do a better job. Well, that's your job as a play caller, is to get your best players the football week in and week out. And we didn't see that happen with OBJ. But when you look at this situation, he's an alpha male. Baker Mayfield's an alpha male. And that's no problem. But when it becomes a problem is when they look at each other like, hey, I want to be the lead dog. Somebody has to take a seat back, right? Or they have to have that chemistry in a way to where they understand, okay, you lead right here. I lead right there. That's not the case when it comes to Baker Mayfield and OBJ. Like, and Key, you know this.
Well, I knew it until your phone dropped. You there with us?
We lost him?
I think we lost Harry as he was on a roll.
Harry talked about
Odell. Had, right now.
Oh, there you go. He's back with us.
We have in Cleveland.
You got to repeat yourself, buddy, because I didn't hear you.
And OBJ. Now, I will tell you this. And Key, I got to disagree with you on some of the points that you made this week. Only because
Harry,
I understand OBJ's father is his own human being, is his separate self, right? But at the end of the day, I have a father who's passionate, who's coached me growing up. If I holler at my father, and I'm like,
hey, Harry, can you hear us?
Chill out. I need you to chill out, Pops. He going to chill out. He's not going to cross those lines, across those thresholds.
Can you hear us? I don't think Harry can hear us. I'm sure that our producer, Evan, will put him on pause while we get that.
But I heard what Harry was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And I heard that he said that he disagreed with me because I said OBJ's dad can say what he wants in terms of protecting his father. I stand firm with that. Mm-hmm. Just because Harry Douglas's dad does it differently, that's okay. My family is going to protect me. If they feel like they want to voice their opinion about something, go right ahead. Ain't got nothing to do with me. I'll know how to tell them at such due time to chill out. Tom Brady daddy did it. Tom Brady told him at such due time, chill out. And OBJ, if he wants to tell his father to sit tight, I got this handled, he'll tell him. That's just the reality
football
of
question.
It.
Football question. Purely football.
Yes.
On Odell's part, okay?
Yes.
I heard Harry Douglas say he was you know, playing well in Cleveland that first year. I want to point something out, though. Odell, and I'm going to use numbers. These are records of events. He started 11 games, played in 12 games altogether as a rookie, 1,300 yards, 12 TDs, okay, on 91 receptions.
Going back to his first year.
Yeah, as a rookie.
Okay.
His next year, but that was in 11 starts, 12 games, 1,300 yards and 12 TDs. His next year, he played 15 games, 1,450 yards, 13 TDs, 96 receptions. Then the next year, 16 games, 1,367 yards on 101 receptions, 10 touchdowns. And I want to say he was hurt that was like his worst year so far, actually, in terms of the like, you know, 11 games, 1,300 yards and double-digit touchdowns. And you follow that up, missing a game, 1,450 yards, 13 TDs, right? Then he gets hurt, whatever, whatever. He comes back later on, 12 games, 1,000 yards, not quite the same guy. First year in Cleveland, 16 games, 15 starts, 1,000 yards, and 4 TDs. My question to you, Key, is this. How much of that is different scheme, different situation, whatever?
A lot. New environment, new everything.
Is he capable remember of doing those early
back,
numbers
remember
again?
Remember, he was coming back off injury when he got to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
So his pattern has been staying healthy. If he can stay healthy, he can do some stuff. Now, you want him to get to that 1,300-yard mark? He can do that with the right system in the right situation.
He could.
Yeah, but he's not going to do it with the Rams.
Right.
Okay.
He can do it with the Raiders.
Only so many plays.
He might be able to do it with the Raiders.
Exactly.
Right. Because Ruggs is out.
Yeah, you got to be able to see what fits with him. He is still a talented young man if he stays healthy.
How about this, okay? If
injuries scare NFL executives.
They should.
Injuries scare NFL executives.
If you were him, like, what do you want to be that main target? Or would you rather be a part of?
I want to be.
Oh, of course. I'm saying, well, your ego is always going to want you to be that guy, right?
You're saying if but it's an either or.
Yeah, like is it like, hey, I want to be the guy to prove to everybody that I can be the guy, or do I want to be a part of something bigger to win a championship?
I'm not there yet in my career. What is it? 6 years? 7 years for him?
Since 14.
I'm not there yet.
He's in his eighth season.
Eighth season.
I'm not there yet.
as it relates to
just be a guy on the side.
I'm not saying being a guy. Be a part of something bigger where you have a chance to do something. You may not be the primary target.
Well, Jay,
but you're
let's say the hierarchy. And I'm sure the number one preference is join a team that needs a number one wideout in order to be a great team, and that's you. That's number one.
So that's the Raiders in.
So let's say if it's a team like the Raiders. I would guess number two would be to go to a place where you could win, even if the numbers aren't going to quite be there.
Would be the Rams.
And number three would be go to a place where you can ball out, even if you're not going to win, right? That would be one, two, three.
I'm trying to win.
No doubt. Yeah, I'm saying that's third.
I'm not going to Detroit.
Right. I don't mean Detroit. Let's not
get the top two options.
What's the best?
Harry Douglas is back, guys.
Harry, what's the best fit for OBJ right now?
Can you hear us, Harry?
Yeah, I can hear
you. Can you hear us now? Okay, good.
Got that damn broke
phone.
What
kind of cell service you got, man?
Be quiet, Key. You need to start wearing tucks every time you on the show, too. We know you, LA. We know you, LA.
I'm from the West Coast, dog.
Nah, but when you look at the fits for OBJ, for me, number one, a lot of people say the Packers, but when you look at the Packers, they do have a lot of wide receivers. That'll be a crowded room.
Yes.
But for me, the Chiefs, I like the Chiefs because outside of Tyreek Hill right now and Kelsey, you don't really see a threat when it comes to down the field. They really miss Sammy Watkins right now. The Saints, the Michael Thomas news, and him not being able to come back, Key, and Jay Will and Max, that hurts.
But, Harry, who's your quarterback there? If you're Odell, I'm like, I'm going from Baker Mayfield to I don't know who the hell
Trevor
my quarterback
Simeon.
Is. Trevor Siemian?
So let me ask y'all a question. Is it going to be worse than having Baker Mayfield and not getting the football?
Well, that's a good point. It's not just Baker Mayfield. It's Baker Mayfield with Odell.
That's fair, Harry.
In other words, Baker's better than Simeon, but maybe not for Odell. He's not better than Simeon.
Yeah, but I'm looking at Derek Carr. If I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes, I'm not looking at Taysom Hill and be like, oh, yeah, that looks.
And I say the Raiders, especially they just lost one of their top receivers right now in Henry Ruggs. So the Raiders would be a good fit for me. I like him with the Patriots as well because, listen, the Patriots are a team that can make some noise late.
Yeah.
They're playing some good brand of football right now. Mac Jones is playing unbelievable as a quarterback. I like what I'm seeing from Mac Jones.
As a rookie, he's playing very well.
Harry, if you were OBJ, I mean, going from Cleveland, you've been in that cold weather. You're worried about weather, man.
The dude trains
in L.A.
But
you
he's
see,
been in cold weather his whole
Jay,
career.
Jay,
fine.
Jay, we don't worry about that, Jay. Like,
I ain't wear
sleeves in -16, -3. Nobody worry about the weather.
I worry about the weather as I get older. Tom Brady worries about the weather. I'm just saying it makes a difference.
Jay, you play basketball. That's the difference.
Right
see,
now,
Key, that's the difference between football guys and basketball guys.
You
see how soft these basketball guys are? They worry about the weather.
You don't have to tell me.
My
goodness. You don't have to tell me at all.
Well, LeBron went from Cleveland to Miami to L.A. Come on.
But that's different, man. He living.
What
I'm thinking, though, Harry, is I'm thinking – the Raiders as the number one team because of what has happened lately to Henry Ruggs being released from the team. They need somebody to lift the coverage. He replaces that, and he's a better wide receiver than Henry Ruggs was. Then when you look at the Los Angeles Rams replacing Deshaun, and imagine what Stafford and McVay can do with him in the lineup. He already has a home in Los Angeles. He loves being in L.A. Then when you look at that, Kansas City, much like you said, you know, with Tyreek Hill along with Kelsey, Mecole Hardman is there, but it's whatever. OBJ will fit there in a perfect situation. Plus, Andy Reid could deal with a personality that some can't deal with.
Exactly.
And then the New England Patriots clearly know what to do with a player like OBJ. They're not going to acquire a player with talent and sit him on the sidelines. Those are my four teams. Now, if they could fit him under the cap and he could clear waivers to the point where they can get to him, I would take the Raiders over all of them.
But, Key, here's one team that a lot of people I don't think is really mentioning. Don't count out the Los Angeles Chargers because you have Justin Herbert throwing you the football. You have Mike Williams. You have Keenan Allen.
You add an Odell to that situation.
That team could be even scarier.
But he's not going to get too many balls thrown his way only because there's only one ball to go around.
But right now, listen, if you're winning – you're not necessarily worried about too much of that if you're winning. When you're losing, that's when it hits you.
Harry Douglas will be hosting Greeny today with Chris Carlin. Thank you, Harry. Thanks for jumping on with us. And congrats to Harry, because on October 22nd, he was inducted into the University of Louisville Athletics Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Harry.
And that is the celebratory moment of the week, and it's brought to you by Allstate. Save money like a champion with Allstate. Championship savings for the win. Much more.
Congrats, Harry.
Odell report.
I know, but I still want to say congrats.
He'll be freed from the Browns. Plus, did Aaron Rodgers have too much freedom with the Packers? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Dan Graziano joins, giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
DG.
You tell us.
How much sleep have you had?
It's been a slow week.
Did your phone sit by you?
No, I turned it do not disturb. You got to get some sleep. I mean, it's 18 weeks and then playoffs.
Don't say sleep around.
Plus,
King. He thinks you're lazy if you sleep.
Like, we have a lot of people.
But you broke this news at like 5, well,
I get up at,
10 this
I get
morning.
Up at 4 o'clock when I have to come in here for Get Up. So at 4 o'clock in the morning that, you know.
And
stuff's going on.
So you had the latest with Odell this morning. What is it?
What's been going on this week while he's been away from practice is the Browns and Odell Beckham's agent have been talking about adjusting his contract to the point where it wouldn't cost the Browns as much if he cleared waivers. See, if they release him now, he has to clear waivers. If he gets claimed by a team, that team takes the contract and the remaining whatever $8 million he's got on it. If he clears waivers, nobody claims him. The Browns have to pay that. So they're trying to adjust the contract in a way that reduces that financial burden in case that happens. The trick is, if they adjust it to make it too favorable to the team, then he might get claimed. And he doesn't want to get claimed because he wants to decide where he goes next. Yeah. So there's a negotiation going on. It'll get done at some point. It's about converting salary to bonus. Is it signing bonus? Is it roster bonus? All that kind of stuff. Once it gets done, they will release him.
When do you
think it could be today. It absolutely could be today. But, you know, it's a contract negotiation. You don't know when these things are going to necessarily take a turn or get finished. But it sounds like they're making progress.
I wonder, as they're making progress, like you said, and turning the base salary into signing bonus or roster bonus and in reducing the salary cap hit on the Cleveland Browns and making it cap friendly for the next team. I wonder if Baker is saying to himself, like I would.
Yeah.
I don't want to go here. I'm not going here. I'm not going here. Don't pick me up. Don't
Odell,
pick me up.
Odell, not Baker. You said Baker.
I mean, Odell.
Baker's saying all kinds of stuff to himself about this, but not that.
When I'm looking at it, I don't want to go to Jacksonville. I don't want to go back to New York. I want to go. And so as we continue to go down the waiver wire, what teams are we now saying, okay, this is a perfect fit for him. This is a perfect
What's
fit
the
for
pool
him?
Of teams that he would realistically go to?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the Saints were in talks earlier in the week before the trade deadline. They didn't really go anywhere. The Saints couldn't take the contract on. So that's a team. I assume that's a team that would interest him. I don't know the quarterback situation. Kind of a question mark, obviously, if it's going to be Taysom Hill. We don't know what that means for the passing game. The Raiders, I mean, I heard you guys talk. That makes a lot of sense. You know, you obviously don't want to in any way diminish the significance, the real world significance of what happened there this week, but it did result in them having a need at the position, right? So that's a team to watch. I mean, it feels like something Tom Brady would ask the Buccaneers to do, right? Especially if Antonio Brown is out for a length of time.
So,
right, exactly. You laugh, but I mean, come on, right? I mean, that makes some sense.
The Rams,
hold on.
Maybe.
Wow. Antonio Brown, Mike Evans,
Well, again,
Chris Godwin. Odell Beckham Jr., Rob Gronkowski,
Scotty
Cameron
Miller,
Brate, and O.J. Howard.
I think it only makes
targets.
Sense if Brown's going to be
Miller,
out sometime with
the fastest
injury.
Dude on the team.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they just – why didn't they just trade him?
Well, they couldn't get a team to agree to take the contract and give anything of value, right? I mean, like, it's not –
but you're getting nothing now.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they didn't get enough interest. There are teams that think, well, he hasn't really done anything the last couple of years. What kind of player are we getting? There are teams that think, well, we can't afford that contract, and even if we could, is he the kind of player that warrants it at this point? And that resulted in a very shallow pool of interested teams, if there were any.
See, they should have called me, Jay. I would have got him moved for him.
I'm sure you would have. I know we're heavy on OBJ, but, like, what kind of pressure does this now put on Baker?
Oh, lots.
Oh, my
well, because
goodness.
Think about it. Like if there are – teammates have, to my knowledge, always liked Odell Beckham. I mean,
they
I covered
me.
Him when
yes.
he was with the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
So if there are people there that are friends with or fans of or like Odell Beckham, his best friend in the world,
exactly.
plays athlete, obviously. And if they don't believe in Baker Mayfield all the way, then it could cause a problem. Baker's going to have to play – at a high level and show that that he wasn't the problem,
yeah.
basically, right? And he'll have the opportunity to do that. Certainly the second half of last year, I think he showed his teammates that he could be that guy. If he does that again, then he's probably okay. But if he doesn't, I think you're absolutely right.
It's going to be immense pressure on Baker Mayfield to win back the locker room simply because a beloved player in Landry is still in the locker room. That's OBJ's best friend.
And Landry's a significant presence in that
yes,
locker room.
Absolutely.
He's a heart and soul guy on that team. So, yeah, I have no indication that there's, like, bad blood between Jarvis Landry and Baker Mayfield over this. But it's logical to think that there could be, especially if things go badly in terms of wins and losses.
On the other hand, as the reason the Browns started to flounder is they weren't healthy. They were good when they were, like, you know, as the Browns get healthy as the season goes on, there's
We've
a good chance
it.
They start to win again, and then people will look and say, oh, see, Odell was the problem. So there's also pressure on Odell to succeed for whatever team he lands with to succeed. Pressure on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, I always liked him. I wonder what it is that he wants, and whatever it is, I hope he finds it.
Carson Wentz back on track while the Jets have once again derailed. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. Stay with us on the ESPN app. Thanks, Dan.
It's that simple, the ball.
The ball.
The Keyshawn, J. Will and Max podcast.